What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Skull Riders Podcast. This is episode number 101 with your host, 65 Lokes. Thanks for tuning in, subscribing, and sharing the podcast out there with others in the skill model world. Just wanted to, see how you guys are doing. It's been a while. I know we just had the holidays that went by. There wasn't a new podcast that came out last week. This is obviously the newest one coming out right now, but just a heads up, going forward, the podcast is going to shift from weeklies to every 2 weeks. So every 2 weeks, there'll be a new podcast episode. So that'll be two episodes per month, as opposed to how back then it was more like four episodes a month plus bonuses. So, bonuses will obviously drop randomly just between episodes, just depending the time, topics, and what's going on in the model world, but last episode was episode 100 with Nathan Trujillo, and I wanted that one to, ride for a couple weeks as the latest one to people to listen to what he had to say, and I'm still kind of tripping out that he was down to do it and that we managed to do it after months and months, of recording podcasts and making it happen. And, during these last few weeks and days and minutes and everything, there's times that I'll dwell and I'll start thinking about the 100 episodes plus the bonuses that have came out in the past through the podcast, and just kind of just tripping out and like reflecting, like, man, like every week, just busting one out. And also like the guests taking the time to share their stories, participate, and be down to be on the podcast as well. Cause I know at times, it can be hard scheduling, getting someone that lives like in the other side of the world or in another state that's our big hour difference, or a few hours trying to coordinate something with them. So this way, we're both at a good timing where they're free, they're relaxed, they're chill, and they don't have to worry about like, we got to wrap this thing up real quick because I got something I got to do, responsibilities and all that. And at the same time, it's like, trying to have a balance with work and my projects and, doing the podcast. So I learned a lot from, back then to now, and it taught me discipline, it taught me responsibility. At the same time, it made me look into my speaking skills as well. From the beginning, certain words I was saying over and over and over that I started to pay more attention on TV, on other podcasts, and just interviews of how people speak. And at the same time, just trying to focus on like, all right, I'm speaking to you guys, I'm trying to get a message out there, but at the same time, I don't want to bore you and I don't want to come off annoying or anything like that, So it's just a lot to learn. And I'm really happy that I was able to learn some things along the way. There's still a lot more that needs work on, but, it takes time like anything. So I'm, really happy with that, with how all that went down, and just thanks. And thank you for everybody tuning in, being a part of it, sharing it, and all that means a lot, definitely. And at the same time, a lot of my projects have slowed down, back then because I had a lot more time, and it was just one of those things that it was like a constant every day. Like, let me work on this, knowing, once I go to sleep and I wake up, like I already have ideas what's going to come on next. And little by little, that started to shift. My ideas started to pour more into the podcast and also to other various projects and videos, things I wanted to create. And the model car building started to lack. I started working on project and I'll kind of chill out for a bit. And for a while, it's tough because you start to feel like you're not doing anything, even though you kind of are. But I was kind of like, man, I don't have nothing to show for, you know, like I'm working on these things right here. But then it's like my motivation gets cut because I have to devote the next hours to doing production, to doing like some ideas, to produce some content. And from there, it's just like a balance of back and forth, but then it one outweighs the other. And next thing you know, it's like you just start putting more attention into one and then the other one's sitting in the back seat, you know? And then at times it's like, you know, throughout the day, like most of us were on Instagram and we're seeing what our buddies are creating and we get motivated. We get blown away. Like, wow, look at that. Like, dude, this dude's killing it. This dude's stepping up his game. Like, dude, look at the engine work on that. Look at the paint job on that. So we start to get very curious and we want to test ourselves. We want to see if we're on that level. We want to see, man, can I do that? Let me try that. We start asking questions. We start doing our research. We start collecting all our materials, our data, our tools, anything, whatever we need at hand to try to create and be on that level, you know? And during that time, you know, when you're testing yourself, you'll find out, you know, the road that's ahead of you, whether it's going to be a long road or a short road. But the motivation's there. You're hungry. You want to do it. But, you know, if you just have that in front of you, you're definitely going to get there super fast. But once you start having like various projects and various things, then you will get there, but it's going to take a while. You know, things start to slow down. So for myself, like we had all these days off. I even had like a 4-day weekend through Thanksgiving, and I just chilled, you know. I hung out with the family and all that, and did things around the house. But I had a lot of free time, like, you know, and there was some days that I did work on some stuff, but there was other days that I didn't. And I just didn't feel like it. I just wanted to really like chill and just kind of read some stuff, think, and just try to visualize and see like what's next. What do I need to do to keep this balance going? You know, because it's almost like having spinning plates and you have so many spinning plates and you don't want them to stop spinning because then they're going to fall and break. You want to keep the momentum going. So I'm like, all right, I started looking into my cars and I started to say like to myself, like, I have more model kits in my stash than built, you know, and that's just in cars. I have motorcycle kits. I have not even built not even one motorcycle, but I have motorcycle kits. And then I have Gundam kits, and I probably have more Gundams built than the kits now. So somewhat of a balance. Just because it's something new, different, you know, anything you get into that's new, it's always going to be exciting at first. And because you're trying to figure it out, you're trying to see what it's about. You're trying to find out its discipline and all that stuff. And then once you feel comfortable with it, then you kind of, you know, you either move on or you start to add it to what you got going on of things, and then next thing you're rotating with all your other various projects. So I started to look in all that, and then I started looking into my music as well. And just, you know, whatever free time I have, it's like I hang out with my girlfriend, we go do things, hang out with my dogs, walk them, kick with my family or at work. So for like a lot of you guys out there, myself, including myself, like time is very important, you know. And I mean, it's crazy because when I'm busy and I'm at work and I'm just doing stuff, I'm thinking about projects. Like, oh, I can't wait to get home. I want to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then finally I get home and all this stuff sitting right in front of me. And I kid you not, I'm not even like in the mood. Like, I'm just like, it's like, it just like went away. Like, damn, the motivation. And it reminds me too about, it's like recording music, you know. You same thing happens. You wake up in the morning, you go to work, you do whatever, and during the day you're thinking of all these creative ideas of patterns with the drums. Like, I'll do this drum drum break sample or whatever, or the sequence for 8 bars, and then I'll switch it when it hits the 16th bar into something else, and then I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll add an effect. And you're just curious that you want to do all this and you want to hear it playback. Then when you get home, it's like those ideas are gone, or you're not even in the mood to even turn on your computer or turn on your drum machine or anything. You know, it's like anything, you're just like, man, you're just chilling. And you almost start to feel like you're on the bench. Like if you're on a basketball team and you're just sitting there on the sidelines and everyone's like playing the game and they're dunking and they're shooting threes and passes and all this stuff. And we're just sitting on the sidelines, you know, it's like you want to play, but you can't because you're not ready yet, or you're just not motivated. You're just like, dang, you know. But during those days of just kind of just chilling, I started reading these books that I recently got for Gundam, where they're how to's teaching you some disciplines. And it's really cool to like read it. I try to preach it as much as I can, but it's always nice to read it from somebody else, or even hear it on a YouTube channel from somebody else talking about it. So it's really motivating, and a lot of it has to do with visual. You know, you have to be very visual. And there's times that I'll be working on a project and then I get stuck because I approached it without visualizing it. You know, I visualized the body modifications, but I didn't visualize it beyond that. I didn't visualize it till the tail end, you know. And it makes me think a lot, because I feel like it opens up a door for sketching. You know, it opens up that door to, like, me personally, I'm not like a sketch artist. I can't, like, if I try to draw, I'll try to draw the best thing I can draw, but I know it's not going to be super straight or whatever. It'll be somewhat an idea, you know, but I'm not saying I'm like a dope sketch artist, because there's a lot of dope people out there. They're just talented at drawing. But I know if I stick to it, I'll figure something out. Oh, excuse me, drinking the coffee right there. But I feel like sketching is very important, and I never really thought about like that back then. You know, back then I would just go all in, but now I'm kind of just looking back and being like, you know what, maybe I should get more into sketching, start practicing my skills with that, and learn some things along the way. Because if you start to think about it, a lot of artists do that already. You know, they have it in their head, and then from their head, they draft that and they render it into paper, you know, or sometimes on the computer. But with that, as you're working on your cars, you will reach your goal, because you want your car to come out looking like your rendering that you sketched out, you know. And this goes back when you start looking through Instagram pages like David Anthony Garcia. You know, he has like one of his latest posts, he has a rendering of a car he's been working on, and he has the drawing of it, and then he has the car right there, like, you know. And it's almost like you're not going to stop, you're going to continue going. I saw the same thing with a sketch that Gary Seeds had shown me of a car. It's like it's a vehicle that he created, a custom vehicle where he has his two chopper motorcycles in the back. And that photo was also featured in the Scale Auto magazine, one of the contest issues. And with that, I mean, it's crazy, because you see the rendering, the sketch, and it looks like, when you know, the model just looks just like it. It's in 3D. Form, like physical, like you could just, you know, grab the thing or whatever. But and reading one of the Gundam books, one of the artists, he speaks about that too. He talks about drawing. He talks about, like, before, when you get your kit, before you even open the thing and start washing the parts, cutting them out, and start snapping this thing together, you have to like, ask yourself and visualize, like, what is it what you're trying to do with this kit? Are you, you know, trying to do it, like, you know, out of box built? Or are you really trying to customize and modify this kit? You know, what are your colors? What is it that you want to do? It's like, you really got to think this out. But then he starts to reflect on drawing, sketching. You want to sketch things out. So this way you have, like, your guide. You know exactly what you got to do to fit, like, do this model, execute it, and finish it. Because when you do have that sketch, you're going to finish it. Because you're not, like, wondering, well, what should I do next? Like, asking yourself. You pretty much have a rendering of it. So you already know what the goal is. And one of the things that was funny is, in there he says, it's common sense, you know. He was saying in there, like, when, like, houses get built or buildings, you know, people draft the building, they sketch the building, the rooms, everything, you know, like an architect, they draw everything out before it's built. And it's so true, because, like, you don't just get wood, bricks, and everything, and you just start building, you know. Just because you have the materials and the tools, you don't just go for it, you know, and you start building, because eventually you're going to forget something along the way, and this thing's going to collapse, or it's not going to get done. It's just going to sit there. It's going to go halfway. And, you know, it makes so much sense. You know, when you have a blueprint of what's been drafted from the foundation to, like, the frame, and then start filling it in the, you know, the place with its fillings, everything, till finally you get to the final stages of the paint and the final presentation. It's like, you have the rendering, you have it all. So you have step by step of where to get from point A to point B and have it complete, you know. And I'm pretty sure a lot of you out there already do this, that's listening to this, you know, but also I'm speaking for those that have not done this at all, you know. And like myself, I don't really approach it, because I never thought about it, really. Even though it's right in front of me and other people are doing it, it's like, it just didn't come to mind in those moments, you know. And I mean, things take time, obviously, and it's all part of learning. So this is like another learning thing. I remember, like, some months back speaking with Luis Avircano, and him telling me that he ordered a book that shows you how to sketch, like, how to render for cars. And he showed me some pages of it, and it just looked cool. And I was like, man, that's dope. Like, that's pretty cool, you know. And that's, you know, that's him right there already, and a while back, just wanting to sketch out before, you know, he approaches what he wants to do right there. So, man, I'm gonna have to holler at him to try to get that book, to see which one it is, so this way I can order that book and read it over. It's very important, you know, to when you gather your tools, if you see that there's, like, material with books, literature out there that gives you some knowledge, you know, it's worth buying, because you're definitely going to learn something out of it right there, you know. But, you know, from all this, it's like, I feel like that's going to be some help and, like, a boost to complete the cars that I'm working on, because I have a lot that are just chilling, you know, they're just hanging out. There's nothing going on right now. I mean, there's shows coming up, but as far as, like, myself and, like, the cars, they're just chilling, like, nothing's going on. But I need to make this fun, like, draw them out and color them a certain way. Start seeing what colors, start looking at photos online, trying to see, like, what's the direction, what is it that I want to do, you know. And I mean, for you guys out there, like, what do you guys think? Like, what do, you know, in these moments? Do you just buy your kit and just build it based on what paint you have laying around? Or do you really kind of just think this out? Do you have, like, a little checklist, you know, where it's body work, paint, customization, you know, all that stuff. Like, do you have all that squared away? You know, and these are things that you want to think about, you know, along the way. Because I know that, you know, someone coming into the hobby that's probably never built a model, they're really not going to think about these things. They're just kind of, it's just a little project I'm going to do, you know. But for those of you that take this very seriously, you know, this is what you do every day. You know, this is something you've been doing for more than 10 years. You got to add some excitement to it. You got to take it, even though you're already taking it seriously, you got to make it fun. You know, you got to take it to that next level where you're, you know, you got a little checklist and sketching stuff out, and you know, you got all your tools covered right there and whatnot. So that, I don't know. So this way you influence other people doing that too, you know, sure, kick down some knowledge with that as well. But as of me lately, what I've been doing is a lot of the Gundam stuff. And the reason why is because of the disciplines. You know, it's showing you step by step of how to scribe and design on these mechs that I'm like, what the heck? Like that looks hard. But then once you start approaching it and doing it and it starts to come out, you know, it gives you that confidence like, oh, okay. I think I know what I'm doing. I think I know what I'm going to do next and so forth. And from there, it's like you gain all this experience from it. But for the moment, you know, but it's one of those things that later you, when you approach your cars, you look at it even more different and you share that same patience for this and also for the cars. And it's crazy because presentation is such a big thing. Like, it's such a big thing, you know. Before, you know, you build your car and it's almost like, that's it. I go all out on the car and that's it. But some of you guys take it to the next step. You guys create a base. You guys create, you know, like a little mini scene. Maybe some buildings, you know. Right now, obviously, the buildings are popping off. A lot of you guys are killing it with the buildings. But it definitely enhances. It takes your car to that next step. It makes it stand out so much. You know, and I feel that this year coming up, 2020, there's going to be a lot of game changers. A lot of things are going to change in the next year, I believe. Because even just this year alone, 2019, a lot went down. And looking back at previous years, you know, me looking back at like 2017 and 2018, it was like, those were, it was fun. It was dope, you know? And you see a lot of people like learning, planting their seed. And then next thing you know, it's like this year in 2019, a lot of people blossomed. A lot of things came out of it. You know, people are now really creating what they want. Instead of waiting for it, people are making it, you know, and it's like, it was only a matter of time till people to start doing the research, start doing their homework, asking questions, and really being motivated to going forward and being like, you know what, instead of me waiting around or going to the store and I can't find it or whatever, or you know what, they never even made this. It's like, I have the ideas. I'm just going to create them, you know? And I feel like this next year, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to come out that are going to shock people. A lot of parts and accessories that are going to be available in the market that will definitely are going to up the game with the cars. I feel that there's going to be like plenty of engine detail parts, interior dash parts, wheels. I mean, you name it, like everything's gonna be out there on all on the table, everything. And I feel like people are they're paying for it and they don't care. Like, if this thing's gonna be expensive, like, and it's just one car, they're down. They're down to do it. They're down to spend the money and just do it. I feel like there's gonna be a lot of chrome plating. It's only a matter of time till a model builder buys the machines, or I don't know how they do that, but or starts working for a chrome plater, and next thing you know, they're just chrome plating left and right, you know? And you know, they're obviously you get things chrome plated in Europe or anywhere else, but I know, like everybody, we want things fast. We feel that when we buy something from anybody, we get it confused. We think that they're Amazon, you know? We think that, oh, we'll be here tomorrow. But it's not like that. It takes time. And so, I mean, if you got patience, that's cool. But for those that don't have the patience for it, once somebody comes out and they're offering you like, yo, I'll chrome plate that for you and I'll have it for you within a week or the day, damn, that's going to be a huge game changer. Like that market's going to shift big time. But as long as the quality's there though too, you know, like anything though, like quality, because us as model builders, we look at detail. We look at detail to the T, like we just go in there, you know? And like we don't really look over things, like we pay attention to it. And it's like there's no way of getting around terrible chroming or terrible parts, you know? Like you're gonna know, you're gonna tell, you're like, oh no, what's going on? I don't wanna put that on my car. Cause it's like every majority of models that are being built are like show cars. I know there's some that are cars that are like different themes and rust and all this stuff too, but for the most part, like a lot of people want to build like a clean car, something that stands out, something that's very showy. But with all that, as much effort as you're going to put into your cars for this next year, you got to put into whatever else you're going to add to it to enhance your car. You know, you could lay down the nicest patterns, you know, the nicest flakes, color combos, the best wheels, anything. You gotta add all this stuff, but if you're putting it next to a car that it's like it has everything, like the that car is also top level, but it has like this whole display of things, you know, that car has like, it's gonna gain a lot of attention, and if you're competing, it might win, that other car might win, you know. So for those that are in it for the competition, obviously you got to go all in, but also consider your bases of what you're going to create, or if you're going to create like a little diorama or a scene. And if you're not going to do that, but you just want to do more of a showcase, then, you know, there's a lot of work that lies ahead that you want to do for your presentation, depending on what you decide you're going to do. But yeah, it's going to be exciting, you know, just seeing everybody else that's out there like building and doing stuff. It's cool because I feel like later there's going to be competitions with just buildings themselves at these model shows. Like, there's going to be like a shift, like these tables are going to fill up quick, but then they're also going to have tables for dioramas. Like later people are going to be, there's going to be a category just for that. For the cars, you know, it's going to start to like take over and stuff and whatnot. And I don't know. It's just going to be a trip. It's going to be exciting. Like, have you guys thought of your goals? Like, have you thought of what is it that you want to do next year different from this year? You know, because we're weeks away from 2020. And I know that, it's going to be a new year. Obviously, what's going to change is the number. But if you want it to be the same like any other year, it will be if you let it. But if you want to make some changes and you want to do some exciting things, then you have to create the shift yourself. you know, you start, you have to ask yourself first, like, what do I want to do new next year? You know, what's going to be my approach? And also, what kind of fun do I want to have doing this next year? You know, do I want to just build models, or do I want to do something on top of that, you know, to make this fun for me? And at the same time, after you ask yourself all these things, at the end, the main question is balance. How do I balance this all out? How do I figure this all out? Like, how do I chill with my family, with my girlfriend, with my wife and all that, my kids, my pets? How do I devote all the time to them, but at the same time be able to work on my projects and my hobby, you know? And it's like you have to find that balance. You know, you have to devote, you know, 100% to each thing. But at the same time, like, if you realize, you know what, at this very moment, I can't build right now because there's bills I need to pay. I need to take my kids to sports, to school, and whatnot. Like, everyday life things, different situations that people have, it's like, you already know you have to be responsible. You got to handle what you got to handle. And this stuff will always be there for you. But when the time comes and you do have those open days to work on stuff, you have to pretty much figure out, like, you know, the game plan of what you're going to do right there. But, I mean, we love this hobby so much. But what I'm, my message to you guys is like, you know, for next year, have that balance as to, like, don't overdo it. Don't do overkill where you're focusing so much on it that there's, like, things that you're just forgetting behind, you know, that are going to start to affect you, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, and financially too, you know. Like, imagine like spending, like, every day being all up in the hobby that you stop going to work. Like, let's just exaggerate right now. You stop going to work because you wake up and you don't even take a shower. You just get up and you just want to work on your model and everything. And you're not doing anything. You're just doing your model. You don't even want to leave the house. And this is, like, Monday. And then the next day is the same thing. Tuesday, Wednesday. By Wednesday, you're done. You're, like, fired. They're like, dude, you didn't even come in. You didn't even tell us. You're done. And later, you know, it's like, how are you going to make that money? Like, how are you going to survive? You know, everyone's tripping, like, yo, they're going to turn off the electricity. It's been a month now. How are we going to pay the rent or the mortgage? You know, and it's all because you let this take over. You know, there was no balance right there. You know, and that's just exaggerating, you know. I'm not saying that there's someone out there doing that. There's not. Not that I know of, but I was just exaggerating right there. But the message is pretty much, like, we love this stuff so much, but we also have to, like, know when to walk away from it, know when to take a break from it, and do other things we have to do. So this way, we, like, refresh and we reset, you know? It's like playing, I remember, like, back then playing Nintendo. You know, you throw on the NES, you start playing the game, and you start getting to, like, level 4, 5, and you realize, even though, like, you kept dying, but you kept starting over and over and over and over, so you finally reached that point, and you couldn't even save your progress, you know, like, the game was done, and that was it, and it was like, dang. So you would leave, like the system on, and then finally, like, the system, you'll be like, oh, I'll be back. 3 hours later, you come back from the store with your parents, and, like, the game's still on pause. It's just chilling there because you can't save. And you're touching your NES, and it's all hot. You're like, damn, this thing's all warm. Like I'm surprised the house didn't burn down. Like, dang. And it's all on the carpet, like, just chilling there. And next thing, but you don't even know if it's messing up their system or not. You know, it's just getting hot. And next thing you know, it's like somebody walks by and they just like kind of bump the system with their foot, or they trample over one of the cables. It shifts, and then like the game's on, but it's all of a sudden the screen is all like jacked up. Like Mario's like in the air, and then everybody else is, everything's all scattered, and you're like, what the hell happened? Like it's all warped. And I mean, you're like, what do I do? Do I keep playing, or do I just like start over? Do I reset? So you have to start over. You have to reset. But now you're like, man, I spent so many hours, you know, and you want to pass it, but you can't. It's like you just blew it right there. So that's when it's like time to walk away. You know, you're just like, you know what? I'm just going to chill. And I won't come back to it for another few days. I come back and then boom, next thing you know, you get there quick than the first time. And you get it done. Sometimes you get it done. Because those games were hard. I still have them and they're freaking hard. It's so crazy. But, you know, it's all these things, you know, you start to reflect on. It's like man, I love this stuff so much. And, I mean, a lot of us could spend a lot of time on Instagram looking at stuff and whatnot, you know. But sometimes it's like, we got to be away from it too, you know, like, dude, like there was a time where I was just on my phone, like looking at stuff on all the apps, looking at constant videos and all this stuff. And then next thing you know, I started to notice myself like, man, I'm like getting obsessed with this phone. I need to chill. Like, you know, cause there was no phones back then when I was younger and I didn't even care for a phone. And now that I have it, and obviously it's just because of all these apps and the convenience of communication and everything that we depend on the phones. But then the apps, it's like, it just makes it more, it takes over, you know? So there was a while that I was like, man, I need to step away from this phone. Like, I don't want to post as much as I used to before. I was just like every day, constantly, bam, bam, bam. Now I'm like, yo, I want to like chill off it. You know, it's more like for myself, like I want to be on this thing too much. Like I like doing the content and all, but at some point it's like, got to slow it down a little bit, you know? And it all reflects back to the conversation of finding a balance. You know, if we find that balance, there's longevity and we'll be able to do what we got to do for the long run. That's for sure. Because if we don't have none of that, man, it's going to get to a point where it starts to become a problem, you know? And then family starts to trip. Girlfriend starts to trip. The kids. Man, even the dogs start to trip. Because, you know, it's like, hey, what about us? We're right here, you know? You got to... And then next thing you know, we're over here, like, getting rid of our stuff. And then later when things are good, we want to get it back. Or we want to buy it back. And it's kind of like, we can have both, but we have to have that balance. We have to figure that one out right there. That's something I want you guys from this episode to really think about and, you know, see what's got to be done. I know that, you know, we're like in the winter months and all, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of rain and just weather shifting like crazy for us here in California, and in other states there's snow and everything. And, you know, I want you guys to really take advantage of the season to have fun, chill with your family. And for those of you guys that are on the bench and have the time to work on your models, you know, just have some fun, you know, turn on some music, you know, put on some YouTube, whatever, and get into your zone. Whatever you do that gets you in your zone, do it up. And this is your time, you know, just enjoy it. Make a coffee, hot tea, whatever you do, do it up and just have fun with it. It's always nice working on stuff in those rainy days or even, I mean, I wish it snowed here, but it doesn't. But I can only imagine if it was snowing. I'd want to be like just warm, chill, cozy, whatever, and like just working on a project, you know? and just have fun with it. Prep your stuff because, you know, once these months, this quarter goes by, all of a sudden the sun starts popping up and now you have your cars prepped and ready for paint, which is another phase that's fun from there. And this way you start to have some progress in finishing your cars for these shows that are coming up, because once January kicks in, January, February, and going forward, there's going to be shows popping up, you know, your annual shows that are going to be here, which brings the excitement. So just be ready for those. I know even myself, I need to have something done for these shows, you know, but I'm telling myself, you know what, I'm going to do my best, but if I cannot finish it, I'll probably just bring it as is, as how I just last left it. So maybe people can see progression as it goes. But we'll see, you know, we'll see, how like all that stuff, pans out as well. But yeah, like I know a lot of you guys are, model kit collectors out there, and it's like sometimes, you know, we buy more kits than we're building, and then our tools, you know, it's like we're buying all these kits, but we want our cars to be on another level. We want them to be like dope, and we're painting them, and we get the slightest like mess up, and then it's like, oh, I'm gonna throw it in the purple pond again. I'm gonna strip it. Like, and then that becomes a habit, you know. Try to do something a little different. Try to find a solution to your problem. You know, once you mess up, see what you can work over that, you know, sand it off or whatever. Like, just try to do something different to approach it. But at the same time, it's like, if you want to execute something dope, or you want something to look a certain way, then you definitely need the right tools for the job. That's for sure. In order to finish faster, you know, you don't want to waste so much time on something and it still doesn't even come out the way that you wanted it to come out. And you're like, damn, it didn't come out. What the heck? So start looking into your tools. Like, don't be scared to spend more money than what you're used to on a hobby tool. You know, like if you have some cutters that you maybe purchase for like $10 and they're cool, but you can get something better, and let's say the better costs $30 to $50, like, and if you're really serious about it, you'll buy it with no hesitation, you know. But I know some of us, we get used to the, like, you know, we pride ourselves on doing dope jobs with like cheap tools or whatever, you know. Like, sometimes I've seen videos of car painters painting a 101 scale car using like a Harbor Freight gun, you know, and those guns are like $15, $30, and they're just like, yeah, they're painting one car in that moment, and they're selling you the illusion of like, dude, like, look at me, I'm killing it with this gun, like, I got this, you know. But you got to think, like, that's just that car. He might have just bought that gun that moment, and who knows if he even used it. That might just be just for show, for the video, you know. But you want to really think about it and be like, dude, like, nah, I want someone, you know, if I had a car and somebody was going to paint it, I don't want him using no Harbor Freight gun on my car, if I had a car, you know. But I'd prefer someone using like an Iwata gun or something like that, something more professional, dependable, you know, that has certain spray automation. Even though someone could say, no, look, it's the same fan, the same size, and this and this and that, there's big differences with it, you know. And and it's like anything, dude, like anything you guys are using, if you want to upgrade it, if there's options though too, you know, sometimes there's options, sometimes there's not, but if there is, look into it, because maybe when you get that new upgrade and you compare, you're gonna be like, dude, I should have done this a long time ago. Why did I wait so long? Because it happens. It happens all the time. But don't take it the wrong way. It's about learning, You know, we're curious. We got to try it out. We got to see what's up. You know, I know for myself, I mean, anytime I see something new, that's a tool. First thing I look at it, I get blown away. I'm amazed. But then I start to think, like, do I need that? And if so, for what? Like, what is it that I can do with that? You know, what am I going to apply it towards? And if I see reasons why, then I get it. You know, I'll do whatever I can to save up for it or sell something or whatever, you know, and I'll get the tool. But if not, then if I see like there's just no use, then I won't pick it up. Because there's tons of stuff out there. It's crazy. So much stuff. Like, when I just started getting stuff, I thought, oh, that's it. Like, this is it. Like, I pretty much acquired what I needed. Like, you know, I'm done. Like, there's no more things I needed to get. And then next thing you know, it's like, there's also this and this and this. And then it's like, what the hell? Like, dude, this is like a never-ending thing, man. Like, there's just so many tools for everything. It's crazy out there. It's just a sea of tools. You know, and yeah, once you start getting this stuff and you start using it, things start looking cleaner. You start getting things done faster. And you're just like, whoa, this is helping me be on another level right here, you know? And you start to notice like the pride that these companies have and the what they believe in their tools and whatnot, which is super rad right there. You know, and I mean, don't buy so many kits. Buy more on your focus, more on the tools, you know? Even myself, like, I'm guilty of it. And I'm thinking, like, I need to downsize my stuff. Like, I seriously need to get rid of stuff. Because it's just like, if I have so many kits, I don't really see myself doing them all. I don't. You know, and I just want to pretty much get rid of a lot of them and just kind of keep the ones that I do see myself building, you know, that I'm into, and the rest just kind of letting them go, because if not, they're just going to sit there and nothing's going to happen, you know. So I gotta see what's up with that, you know. But man, it's crazy. We got 2020 coming up also in like a couple weeks. On the 23rd, it'll be Scale Riders' 2-year anniversary. Scale Riders will be turning 2. Just like it's still a little baby. Still a little baby. So it's been a pretty cool journey. Been having a lot of fun with it. And I'm excited for next year, you know. Let's see what happens. Let's see what comes up. I'm excited to meet a lot of you guys, to see your cars at the shows, chop it up. And I look forward to also like creating new content, new videos, more live video streaming. And man, I wish I had a studio. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, if I had a studio, like a spot to just record podcasts, man, I definitely would be doing that every week then if it's video, because it would be just so much fun to be with someone interacting, doing the podcast. Like, that shit would be so dope. I would really like that. But I mean, it might sound like a dream, like, one day, or who knows, you know, or I wish, but hey, you never know. It could be possible, you know? So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in the future with it. But if it heads in that direction, I'm all for it. I'm all in, you know? Been doing some upgrades, obviously, to the equipment here in the studio. And I want to thank the Patreons, because of them, they've been, with their support, it's been helping to upgrade, to get, you know, extra mics, the headphones, the stands. And now I'm working on getting another mixing board where I can connect 3 microphones, because at the moment the mixing board I have, I'm limited to only 2. But I've seen some mixing boards that you can put up to 4. That's like the max on some of them. But I don't think right now, I don't really visualize myself doing a podcast with like including myself, four people, because that would be a lot, you know, and I don't want to be like, where we're cutting and stepping over ourselves in the conversation. I feel like when it comes down to like three, that can be a lot more impactful and more dynamic with three people, you know. But I'm going to save that. So when the time comes, it would be so dope to have, you know, two guests with myself doing a video podcast. We're able to speak, taking our turns, me asking questions. And hey, they can ask me questions too. Don't matter. But it would just be so dope. This way you guys can listen to the conversation and obviously visualize it, see it through YouTube. And also, make sure you, check out the Scale Riders YouTube channel. I've been going in like the last 2 weeks, just cranking out videos. Whatever, you know, some ideas I have or footage or anything, I've been posting it up, you know, it's there. Please subscribe to the channels, look us up on YouTube, just, youtube.com/scaleriders. Do a search, view the videos. There's a lot of tutorials in there as well with things, show coverage, a lot going on in there. But thank you guys for listening to this episode. This was episode 101 with 65 Lokes, your host. And please stay tuned for future episodes for Scale Riders Podcast. And hey, be safe out there. Keep building or take a break, you know, do what you got to do, whatever makes you feel good. So, thanks for listening, guys. And, let's keep in touch. Peace.